This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's best titbit without the tits. Catching up on Joy 94.9.
And now on Joy 94.9, it's time for Catching Up with your hosts, Dolly Adamson, Brett Scriver, and Jamie Lewis.
Good evening, one and all, and welcome to Catching Up. I've got a very special Catching Up tonight. I'm joined by the marvellous Hickey, or Hikaru Freeman, and the quite wonderful namesake of mine, B2 or Brett, for our Catching Up on Eurovision show. Welcome to the studio, guys.
Thank you.
Well, I was just listening to the intro. I'm wondering who was Dolly and who was Jamie. So,
Can basically just call myself Brett Freeman tonight. Just to
start bless you. Sure, you can be B3.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, obviously, Dolly is now, she does a gig now on Tuesday, so she's going to be away for a bit. And poor Jamie has just flown in from La. Oh. And he's a little bit jet lagged.
Oh, my heart's bleeding.
Oh, yeah. I've been on that LA trip. Oh, yes.
I know, guys. But tonight, look, I have been so super excited about Eurovision since I was 6, maybe. So this is a bit of a dream come true tonight. We want to hear from you, though. What was your best Eurovision moments? Email us on air at joy.org.au. Call us 1300-JOY-949 or SMS us on 0427 JOY 949. Now, Hickey, what show are you're doing at the moment? Obviously, you've got The Affair on Saturday nights.
And also Joy Eurovision, the show, which will have its wrap-up on Monday afterwards, which is, you guys are invited, but you guys are working.
God forbid. Oh, no, sorry. Us people who are earning a living and contributing to the economy.
So, you know, I'm just saying.
Starting off well, Brett.
Yes.
It's going to be you two versus me the whole entire night, isn't it?
Yeah, you should be used to that by now. It's the story of your life.
It's the story of my life. But anyway, no, it's also The Affair. This week will be featuring the best of the Norwegian Melody Grand Prix from the 1970s.
I love how specific you are.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
You can tell I come from
the
full
catastrophe. But you know what? There'll be all these people going, oh, great. It's been so long since I heard the Norwegian entries from the Grand Prix in the 1970s.
No winners either. They will all be the ones that didn't win.
Oh, fantastic. Oh,
even better. Even better. But look, obviously, Eurovision this year is in its host country of Sweden. I'm going to do it now, boys. I'm going to get the song out over and done
with.
All right,
let him have his moment.
It was 1974, the year of my birth. It's ABBA. It's Waterloo. You're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You're catching up with Hickey, B1 and B2 tonight on Joy 94.9. That was clearly ABBA.
Yeah.
Clearly ABBA with Waterloo. It was the year I was born, actually. I was born a month after Eurovision.
Oh, so you missed it.
I just missed
that was
it.
Bad timing.
But God, that image of those two in velvet and, like, what was it? Like a western skirt with a tight frizz hair.
Yeah, and yet it had, like, kind of knickerbockery things.
I'm just avoiding any sort of references in terms of ABBA and, you know, conception and everything like that.
Sorry? Conception?
Yes. Conception. You said you were born just shortly.
9 months.
It wasn't a very quick pregnancy. Yet.
No. Oh, my God. You're hilarious. But obviously, the rumour is this year in Malmo.
Yeah.
The rumour is that if not Agneta, that the four of them will come out to present the prize.
Wow. Oh.
That's the rumour. At least one of them. They're not going to sing.
No, that'll... No. No.
It's not going to happen, is it, boys?
Never.
But they'll love to tease it out, though.
Oh, yeah. Do you think it would be good if, like, they all came on and did different things throughout the show? Do you think? Because the crowd will go mad.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Agneta's been on the publicity trail with this new album, so she could be convinced
to do
it.
Have you heard it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just listened to the previews on iTunes of, like, you know, 30 seconds of each song.
Is it all still sort of just like...
It sounds very much like the... It sounds very much like the single. And look, if you're a desperate ABBA fan and you've been missing hearing the sound, it sounds a lot like sort of average ABBA, not great.
Oh,
ABBA.
It's not like, you know, Agnetha does the Great American Songbook or something.
No, nothing like that. There's one kind of upbeat song which is clearly aimed at the gays, which is not good. It's something about get onto the dance floor or something. It's just not good.
No,
a 60-year-old woman extolling us to go get on the dance floor.
I know. Hey, yes. Cher does it all the time. Boom, boom. Hey.
You leave Cher alone.
I love Cher.
Cher doing Eurovision would be great. Oh, I'm Cher, bitch.
Oh, you know what? I've said this several times. Cher,
yes,
and Colton Ford, the porn star slash singer.
Slash.
Sorry, it's who?
Colton Ford. He's a porn star.
He played Sheriff Trout in The Lair.
I'm glad you clarified that for me.
He is more well known as a porn star.
Okay, like, he is gay porn and, or
yes,
straight
gay porn?
Yeah,
gay porn.
And like okay, many okay, a porn star, he thinks he has a singing voice.
Yes,
Dean Munro, right. Anyone?
Ooh.
Johnny Hazard.
But
I'm just listing off my iPod.
You know a lot of porn.
And a lot of porn that apparently with singers. But no, Colton Ford and Cher. And possibly throw in one of the Kardashians representing Armenia. That's a guarantee.
Do you know what? Yeah, the Kardashians could do Armenia, couldn't they? They are from Armenia, aren't they? They're not from Kazakhstan or something.
They're of Armenian descent, yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
As is Colton Ford, as is Cher.
Oh, I thought you were just randomly picking Colton Ford for no reason.
No, Colton Ford is actually Armenian. So
right. Okay. Right. Sorry, okay. I missed that.
Now, obviously, this is normally the part of the show when we do Catching Up With Us, but I wanted to know the boys about how they got involved with Eurovision. Now, what I was surprised, now, I remember Eurovision from probably the late 70s, early 80s, sitting in my grandmother's, because my grandmother's Croatian, and they loved the Yugoslavs, or what was then Yugoslavia, used to love the song, even though they were quite dreadful at it, and still are. So I remember it from then, but Hickey, you didn't find Eurovision until much later.
I didn't, because as you can tell with my accent, I did not grow up with Eurovision. When I went to university in the UK, there was just so much chaos about, because it was 1998 when it was hosted in the UK, so I got to see Donna International win live.
Oh, wow. Did she look as good? Because I was always, you know, like sometimes she looked quite good.
Well...
And then sometimes she didn't.
Lots of Gaultier, and that's all I can say. And that whole outfit that she won with.
Yes.
That was a whole big scandal in and of itself.
Because I remember, because I was living in Melbourne at the time, I'd only been here for a couple of years, and the outrage of the Jewish community about saying, I can't believe we've got a transsexual representing our country. As soon as she won, all of those signs disappeared.
Everybody loves a winner.
And everyone loves a winner, bro.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Now, how about yourself, Brett?
Well, I grew up in the country, so we didn't get SBS or Channel 7 or Channel 9 or Channel 10. So I didn't get access to Eurovision until much later on. So my first one was 1993, which I stumbled across accidentally.
Yes.
Sonia from the UK sang Better the Devil You Know. That's why it sticks.
It's not that bad.
That's why it sticks in my mind. Then I missed a couple, and then 96 was when I started going hardcore.
Yeah,
I'll
be honest with you, I remember like after school, which I finished there, for me, I went off the whole, you know, that whole journey in the 90s where Ireland won continually.
It's so corrupt. I'm sorry, that's so corrupt.
What do you mean?
Oh, they have been debating putting in investigations to see whether there are some paybacks going on there.
Are we saying? Are we talking, aka, like 1968?
Yes, we are.
And for those of you who don't know, which I was going to discuss in the next segment, in 1968, there is still rumor today that Franco somehow rigged the outcome of the election. So the aptly rather sophisticated title of La 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 managed to beat the aptly sophisticated elevator song of Congratulations by Mr. Cliff Richard. Sorry, Sir Cliff.
He wasn't Sir Cliff then.
No, he wasn't.
He was Mr. Cliff.
I did like the velvet suit with the ruffle. It was like it was like an early John Pertwee Doctor Who outfit, wasn't it?
That look actually lasted. I was a page boy in a wedding a few years later and wore something not dissimilar. Actually,
There's only ever indications. Hey guys, we've got so much Eurovision here on Joy 94.9.
Listen to Joy when you want, where you want with the Joy app. Download it for free at joy.org.au. Joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9. This is Catching Up. I'm Ikara Freeman, joined here by our anchor, Brett.
Hello.
And our co-anchor, Brett.
Hello.
Now, I'd like to talk a little bit about that song we just heard. It was 1956. It was the first winner of Eurovision, and it was by the beautiful Lise Asaya, and it was from Switzerland, and it was called Refrain. And I had to be corrected during the song because I thought the old deer had died.
And then I just...
Apparently, they managed to get the life out of you in Switzerland and she's still a bloody lie.
Can I just say, and the other two here in the studio were mortified because we thought we'd missed the news going, what? Are you sure? How can this be? So anyway, she is still alive. Anyway.
She even entered a song into this year's Swiss entry. I'm sorry, Swiss National Final.
Yes.
With a hip-hop band called New Jack. It's called All In Your Head. And if you go through the archives of the full catastrophe, you can hear a little bit of a clip of it. And Andy and I literally lost our ever-loving minds because it's atrocious.
Oh, okay. But I think she's got a delightful voice.
She does. She's got a lovely speaking voice,
She's
too.
89 years old.
You know? I know.
Yeah.
I know. My grandmother's 89 and blessed. Thank you, Bubba, for listening tonight.
Well,
if
maybe
you are, dear.
She'll be joining up with a hip-hop group next year.
Maybe. Well, no.
We can get her. We get
probably just the hip replacement hop group.
Replacement group.
Yes. Hey guys, we're asking a question tonight. What was your best Eurovision moments? SMS us on 0427 Joy 949. Call us on 1300 Joy 949. Jerry is waiting to stand by to take your call. Or email us directly into the studio on air at joy.org.au. I want to say a big thank you to my darling sister. She never misses a show. Love her guts. And she loves Eurovision as well. And she's hanging out for Bucks Fizz 1981. Sissy, you might just stick around for a little bit later in the show. Boys, I want to talk about a little bit of a history of Eurovision because it started in 1956. It is not the same show.
Oh, no.
Because it was a very much a upper middle class tuxedos, dinner jackets, evening gown affair originally.
I love watching the footage of that, especially that first year, but all the early years. It's so... well, classy in inverted commas compared to now. You know, everyone's sitting down in their tuxedos.
You mean Lordy was not?
I was actually going to refer to the crowd, you know, which is now full of all these, you know, people bouncing up and down, waving their flags and, you know,
victories in Cyprus 2014 and everything like that.
Do you think it was a little bit, to me, when I've seen them, and it is beautiful, like it is really lovely. I love the fact that they used to play with a full orchestra.
Yes.
Well, they kept that. They persisted with that for years.
All
years
the way
and
up until 98.
'90s, yeah.
Yeah, 98 was the very last one. So I think I just got in there just at
you
the left.
You just scraped in with the BBC Orchestra, was it?
Yes, the BBC Orchestra. Which
It was
good. They did very, you know, modern
the BBC,
songs.
They never do it wrong, do they?
Well, they did it wrong with the host that year, let's just say.
Oh, who was it? Was it not
Terry,
Wogan?
It was Terry Wogan.
Now, boys.
And
who?
And Ulrika Johnson.
Oh, Ulrika.
Can
they
you
used
believe?
To call it.
I'm sorry. It's just weird. The BBC, with all of its celebration of British entertainment, gets an Irishman and a Swede to present Eurovision.
But let's face it, you either love Wogan or you don't.
Yeah.
And he does split. Now, look, for me, I like Wogan. I just don't like Wogan if it's a song I like. But if it's a song I don't like, I'm all for him.
Well, I used to think he was good. And I was one of those people who emailed SBS with outrage the year that they put the Effie special on.
Really?
Yeah, which was apparently, side fact, the most complaints SBS has ever had about anything in its history of broadcasting was when they replaced Terry Wogan with that Effie special.
But my understanding was with Wogan on SBS, they then changed it a couple of years ago where they would show the Wogan They would replay the Wogan announcer, and then they would show whatever the... Either they'd show the Australian or the country.
No, what
the
they did, that's, yeah. that started when they did the Effie thing.
Really?
And so many people complained they replayed Wogan, the Wogan version a week later.
Yes.
And the same thing happened when Des Mangan did it. They replayed it again later on because people weren't happy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But on Wogan, I
yes.
recently, a couple of weeks ago, was watching the 2001 Eurovision Song Contest.
Yes. Oh, the one where everyone was drunk, basically.
And I was listening to his commentary, and I didn't realize how offensive it really was.
Okay. I will say that in his defense, particularly in 2001, he was given a lot to work with.
But, you know...
Those presenters were atrocious.
I have no problem with the presenters. Yeah. It was the references to female performers having a decent set of lungs is the polite way. And
right.
Comments like that. And at the time, I never really noticed how bad they were. But looking back now, I kind of go, ooh, they really were not.
Can I tell you, now this is probably a good segue into the next song I've got. Now this was a winner from 1965 in Luxembourg. Now the reason why I'm playing this tonight is because this is when the competition started getting poppy. This was probably the most poppiest song of, well, let's say the early 60s. It's by the beautiful France Gall.
Yeah.
Now, your French is quite good, Hickey. Do you want to have a crack at it?
Poupée de cire, poupée de son. It means a doll of wax, a doll of sound.
Get your shimmies together on your Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You're catching up with Brett and Hickey, also known as B3 tonight on Joy 94.9.
I'm an honorary Brett.
It's all about Eurovision boys. And, yes. and these boys, God, do they know their Eurovision. They're giving me a run for their bloody money. Now, Hickey, with that song, which was a 1965 winner from Luxembourg, there's a double entendre meeting, isn't
there? Well, there is a double entendre meeting because she's basically singing that she is she has no purpose. Because she is essentially a vehicle for which the songwriter just emotes, which is kind of rather depressing.
See, isn't it doll of salt, doll of sand?
A doll of wax. Doll of sound.
Yes.
But then she had the song Les Sucettes.
Yes.
About Annie enjoying her lollipops and how when lollipops fall down her throat, she enjoys the taste of it and it's so sticky.
And of course, because it's in French, there may be a double meaning to that.
I think you're casting a wide net there at the French. They may be.
Have you been to France?
Yes, I was going to say they may be the occupants of the City of Love, but they may also just enjoy lollipops. I don't understand what anyone's talking about. I'm innocent.
When she found out what that song was about, she actually allegedly closed the door and didn't come out for like 10 years.
Well, apparently she refuses to sing the song at all. Have it on her albums. You can only download it or go to like a compilation disc of Eurovision songs or a compilation album. She doesn't want anything to do with it. Which is sort of how she became famous, though.
But then that's not uncommon. A lot of people try to hide their Eurovision history.
Such as Lulu.
Celine Dion.
Cher. Mm. No, not Cher. No.
That's still to come.
That's still going to come. We're going to make that Cher, Colton Ford, Kim Kardashian thing happen.
Hey, look, guys, obviously, for those, and I didn't know this about Eurovision as well, it was based on the San Remo Music Festival.
Yes.
And I know you are a connoisseur, shall we say, of the San Remo Music Festival.
Very much so.
What? How long? Now, that has even a longer history, doesn't
it? That started out in 1951. It still runs to this day. It's several days long. And if you've ever watched Italian television, it is literally song, ad break, song, ad break, song, ad break, song, ad break. And it just goes on and on and on. But it has got some amazing people in it. You have had Dusty Springfield, all of her Italian songs have been in it.
Yes.
We've had Shirley Bassey, Cher, when she was with Sonny and without Sonny. Yeah,
it's was Cher in San Remo?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Singing. She's going there with Colton Ford next year, too, I hear.
Absolutely. Oh, my God.
By the way, we should actually say we have got an email in from Sean. Sean, who says, hello, hello, this is St. Kilda calling with the jury votes. I know I'm going to be leaving St. Kilda soon.
Douze points
for Charlotte Nilsson, Take Me to Her Heaven.
Yes.
And then Charlotte Borelli. I guess when you get some facial work done, you change your name too.
Now, kids.
Maybe the Pirelli is reference to the Tyre and her.
Now, we have to talk about Charlotte because yes. I hated Take Me to Heaven.
I did
leave
too.
The room. I own CD single.
But can I say, I loved Hero, and the worst thing is Hero came like third last.
Yeah.
Okay, but dude.
But she did have the cat face.
See, you have to understand one thing. Poor Charlotte.
Yes.
She did find
poor
out
that Charlotte.
Her husband, the one that made her a Pirelli, did actually cheat on her a couple days before she actually had to go on stage in Belgrade singing Hero.
Oh my God, how terrible for her.
And then she took that event and then turned it into a song into last year's Melody Festival and called The Girl.
Yes, so. Because my understanding is she married an Italian man. Was he Italian or
well, with a name like Pirelli?
Well, I'm
it
assuming
could be of Italian descent, but could very well be Swedish.
Could be on the border. Yeah, mm-hmm. On the border.
Yeah.
Yes, but she did the face because she kept a figure. But Jesus Christ, what happened to her face, guys?
It was a cat. It was just.
It was Jocelyn Wildenstein.
It was. Yeah. It was.
I want to be a cougar.
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't good. It wasn't good
no,
at all.
No, it
and the
wasn't.
Outfit, oh, God, it wasn't good. No wonder she only came fourth last or whatever it was.
I know. But look, we've got so much more on the show. We just have to pay some bills first, guys. Yeah. And we're going to talk more Eurovision on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9. You're with B1, B2 and B3, also known as Brett and Hickey. It's a special edition of Catching Up. It's all about the Eurovision.
Ooh.
So we're catching up on that, and it's not just us talking about Eurovision. We'd like to hear what you've got to say about it. Let us know your favourite Eurovision moment or performer or song or whatever. You can SMS 0427-JOY949. You can call us 1300-JOY949 or email us onair@joy.org.au.
Oh, that was fantastic. Thank you, darling.
Anyone
have
done that before?
I know. Okay, guys, I've got two questions.
All right.
The first question is, nearly all countries in Europe have participated in Eurovision. Name the two that have not.
Liechtenstein.
Yes. It's another principality.
Oh.
In fact, it's the smallest principality in all
the Vatican.
Of Europe. Well done.
Oh, cool.
And the Vatican
Dupois.
Does.
I thought I was going to get thrown out of the studio there for failing the quiz.
They could actually participate because there is actually a Vatican member. They are part of the EBU.
They pay their fees?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
I just like the fact that I can ask quiz questions and they get answered. But look, the other thing that I want to talk about, and we can't go past Eurovision with voting and controversy, can we?
No.
It's half the fun.
What goes on with the voting, guys? What the hell goes on with the voting?
Okay, do you want to know the funniest thing with the voting and the rules? Is if you actually read, like, the Wikipedia summary of the rules, it goes for, like, two screens of, like, pages. Then in this year, they introduced the jury voting. Then they went for public voting. Then they introduced a rule for this. Then they introduced a semi-final. Then they limited it to 10 countries from the first final. Then they changed the rules for this. Every year, the rules change. It's
yes.
great. And so does the voting.
I don't quite understand the whole, we hate you, but now we're going to vote for you. You know, like the whole Cyprus and Turkey and Greece, the northern, well, not so much the Scandinavian, let's face it, the parts of the old Eastern Bloc,
yeah,
basically.
Look, I mean, people seem to think that this is a sinister plot by the residents of these countries, but I'm kind of the view that they share a language,
exactly.
They share a culture, and they
yep.
share musical taste. So,
I mean,
the neighbours are going to vote for the people who are close by, unless they hate them.
Let's take, for example, if we were involved in an all Asia-Pacific one, do you know how much vote swapping would be going on between Australia and New Zealand and Australia and New Zealand and Fiji? It would be like, they would think...
And Fiji.
Well, yes, and Fiji. I think Fiji would...
I think it's something to do with maybe the Chinese populations of Singapore and Malaysia.
That, oh, yeah.
And the Chinese, I think the Chinese will well and truly beat any country.
I don't see China giving Taiwan any points.
No.
That mean they would have to acknowledge their existence?
That's true. And the Japanese would come up with some crazy shit, though, wouldn't they?
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Okay.
They'd be like the Germany of the competition. You never know what you're going to get from year to year.
There is actually a Japanese version of Eurovision called the Red and White Song Festival, or Kohaku. It goes on every single New Year's Eve.
Yes.
And it is the funniest thing on earth. They have got demented drag queens that sing.
Yes.
It is all about over the top I mean, literally, it deserves more press on Earth. And I've been waging a campaign for SBS to go air it because it is the funniest thing you will ever sing. All the top Japanese acts have to appear on it. And it is all voted for. They have a red team and a white team, which is men versus women.
Yes.
And the men have been winning all so long. And everyone is screaming, you know, complete controversy because the state broadcaster gets a bunch of money from
Of course
it.
They do.
Oh, I love it. It sounds like a hoot. I'm going to check that one out.
Oh,
just literally look up Kohaku. It's the funniest thing on earth.
Now, tell me, guys, what's the significance of 1969 in the competition? What the hell was going on with the voting in that year?
What's in the sexual revolution? I can tell you that.
No. I don't think that got till at least the early 70s, maybe, in Eurovision.
Well,
with Ding A Dong.
Every hour. Every hour.
On Joy, 94.9. No.
No, 1969, yes. That was the year when we actually had four winners because, and we didn't have the rule that, we didn't have the countback rule.
Yes.
That also fills an entire screen on Wikipedia. The rule about how to break a tie break. Yeah.
Oh, I love when the countback rule did actually come into play after 1969, which was used in 1991, which was when Italy last had the Eurovision.
Now, was that after Unite Unite? That was 1989 or 1990.
Then they gave Toto, because he can sing, apparently they thought that he should be allowed to present a two-hour show.
Yes.
And he made a complete schmozzle of it, yes, along with Gigiola Cinquetti,
yes,
who won it in 1964. And she just sort of sat there and act sane while Toto basically made a fool out of himself. And that year, Carola,
yes,
with Bongo.
One of my favorites, who is appearing this year.
That's right.
I'm so
she's at Wonk, I believe.
It's like being in the studio with two 16-year-old girls.
Do you know what? Between Carola and Eric Saade in the green room, I'm about to explode with this year's contest. Seriously.
I know this is a gay radio station, bro, but you have just taken it. This is a gay that you can see from space right now.
I have special breaking news that a lot of people might want to know.
Oh, God. Yes.
There is no alcohol allowed at the Malmo Arena.
What?
None. All of those green room, they are going to be completely stone cold sober.
Oh my God.
That's because it's a very long and quiet broadcast.
And
even the semifinals?
Yep.
Because you know normally, have you noticed on the semifinals?
Oh, they're all
They tough. All tuck into the booze.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well, it might be their last hurrah. It might be. They might not be making it to
you
the
were spot
final.
On there.
There is no, I have it confirmed by John Candy O'Connor,
yes,
who is the commentator for San Marino.
Yes.
They will have no alcohol, and they have no alcohol in any of the arenas. In the Greek entrance, yeah, got in major trouble by distributing ouzo to all the commentators.
Are you for real?
Yep.
Oh my God, the Swedes used to be fun. What happened? What happened?
No, you go over to Denmark to go get your alcohol.
Yes, the Danes like a good knees up, don't they?
That was 2001.
Bless them. Bless Princess Mary, and my thoughts are with you now, darling.
What's happened to Princess Mary?
No, nothing. I'm just thinking about her. I think she's wonderful. But she has nothing to do with Eurovision, and she bloody well should have.
Yeah.
The other year. I think she should have trotted out.
She could have been a guest presenter or something.
One of the princes is really hot. I think he's like Friedrich's younger brother.
Really?
Yeah.
Friedrich's not unattractive.
No, he's not unattractive. Let's face it, for a European prince.
Oh!
I know, that's a little bit of... But look, one thing on Catching Up that we normally get to regularly play is disco. And we have fabulous friends at the Disco Appreciation Society.
Yeah.
And I want to dedicate this next track. It's probably the most disco of the competition. It was in 1978, and Israel... which we'll come back to later if it's part of Europe or not, won the competition with a fabulous song called...
Abanabi.
Which is based on a Hebrew...
nursery rhyme.
Yes. And it was the fabulous Isaac Cohen and the Alphabetta. You're on Joy 94.9 with the Catching Up crew.
Joy 94.9.
You're catching up with B1, B2 and B3, and I think we might have someone else on the line coming directly from Malmo. Hello, Michael.
Oh, hello, boys.
How are you, sunshine?
I am cold. It is cold.
It's cold here too, so we're with you in spirit.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I had all my shorts organised and everything, and here I am trying to get my way through jumpers. It's ridiculous. The least they could have done was put some warmth on for me.
well, Michael.
So our man on the field is really enjoying Sweden this time of year.
Look, it's nice.
Is it nice?
It's lovely.
Can we confirm?
I'm liking it.
Now, can we? I've heard rumors from John Candy O'Connor, the San Marinese commentator, that alcohol is completely banned from the Malmo Arena. Is that true?
Oh, that's an interesting question. When I went in for the rehearsal last night, I didn't have a look at the shop, the little food places. However, it's quite possible. I didn't see any ads for alcoholic beverages, so it's possible that's the case.
So the Greek song this year being Alcohol is Free might actually live up to its reputation.
Oh, I think so, especially if you steal it. I think it's only if you steal it that's going to be free.
Not that we encourage
it's
that.
It's nowhere near free.
Now, Michael, we've seen a couple of shots that you've posted on the Eurovision Joy page on Facebook.
joy.org.au/joy-eurovision.
Thank you, Hiki. Who has been the highlight so far?
I have really quite enjoyed the background stuff that you don't get to see. Often, we always see the big shows of the weekend, but we don't see the fun and games that go on behind the scenes. And I have to say that some of the press conferences that have taken place are quite broadcast worthy.
Really?
Which is why I've tried to broadcast them. Because, yeah, the performers perform. They do little songs. They do covers of songs. It's like a little concert. It's wonderful.
Did Fareed take his shirt off?
That's really the question that we've been waiting to ask.
Funny you should ask that question. Fareed was running late, therefore only could answer two questions, and I was practically bursting out of my seat wanting to ask mine.
Was your question going to be, will you take your shirt off now?
Well, there was a bit of that, plus can I help you with a wrestling video to go with your...
Now, what about Ryan?
I didn't get there.
What about Ryan Dolan's backing dancers now? That they have been quite the stir.
And they're obviously from Ireland, aren't they, yeah, this year?
They are pretty boys, and they look even better up close. Even though they had singlets on when I saw them up close, I would still happily do whatever I had to do to get to know them very well. But it's all show business, apparently. It's just all show business.
Yes.
It's not homoerotic, according to the stage producer of the Irish entry.
Yes.
It's all just show business. Mm.
Speaking of show business and erotic, have you managed to see my favourite this year, which is Italy's Marco Mengoni? Have you seen? Because I saw a picture of him the other day and he looked very handsome.
I have my fingers and toes and everything else crossed there'll be some things more than others have to be crossed, to actually get to chat to him one-on-one tomorrow.
Wow. Now, that was a Catching Up on Eurovision exclusive, ladies and gentlemen. Yes.
He shouldn't be that hard to see. He has huge hair. Look for the hair.
Massive hair.
Someone else has huge hair. Robin Sternberg. Yeah. He has big hair.
Really? But isn't he like, 5 foot nothing?
Oh, he's about my height. Yes. Look at your photo soon. You'll see how tall he is.
Okay.
Apparently he's styled his hair on Jedward.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, look, 0 points there.
And I just have to say this. What about she who rules the world, Nina Zizic? Have you been able to talk to her?
And which country she's from?
Montenegro.
Oh, of course. She's always banging on about Monty bloody Negro. Sorry. Sorry, Michael. So have you seen her?
I only saw her behind the table at the press conference. That's all. They have not been around enough for me to try and jump on talk to. However, I have tweeted Nina
yes.
and asked her to put a present in my pigeonhole for yes. Hikaru if she wants to.
I'll be very grateful. Dr. Dusha Dober. No, Ducky.
We'll see how he goes.
Oh, my goodness. And he's very good at French, and he needs his Slavic languages brushed up on. Hey, now, look, I'm a little bit excited because I actually rewatched Germany's Glorious by Cassada. Has she been flitting about everywhere? Because I think she's just going to go off on the night.
They had their first rehearsals yesterday.
Oh, yes.
Is she wearing a skirt that's longer than the one that she's wearing in the video?
which is fine, because it gets cold up there.
Well, it does.
It's a long way up on the stage.
Do you know what? If she sneezes, the world's going to be a gynecologist, that's for sure.
Lordy.
I'm a little bit excited also by Krista Siegfrieds with Married Me, which is really Finland's answer to Katy Perry.
She has had a whole lot of pink. Her team have been dressing in pink onesies.
Oh, really?
That's so funny, because we're all wearing pink onesies at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty.
I know.
But they walk around the arena and parts of Malmö in these pink onesies, and they look like a group of pink penises. So I'm not sure if that's what you're going for.
Michael, we haven't got much long, but darling, obviously the semi-final, that was brilliant, by the way. Obviously the semi-final is tonight in Sweden. Obviously it's almost 10 o'clock here in Melbourne, and it's just correct, after lunchtime in Sweden, isn't it?
It is indeed. It's a lovely sunny day.
So what are you going to do to kill the next couple of hours without going stir crazy about the semi-final?
I'm going to go and check out my pigeonhole, see if it's full of stuff for me.
Oh, we'll
Some editing. Some editing for some interviews on Joy. So Robin will be on Friday, and there's also an interview with Margaret Berger of Norway.
Oh, how exciting!
She feeds us her love.
Oh, brilliant! And then obviously we've got on Thursday it is the semi-final, and Saturday night it is the grand final.
Oh yes.
You're out on the field. What is the buzz? Who do they think is going to win? I have to ask.
There is actually no other than the Danish entry, that's been the favourite since like January.
Yes.
There's not really any other song or any other songs that are as popular or as big as the Danish one.
Yes.
The rest of them are all, they're in groups. There's not one that's really as favourite as Euphoria was last year, for example.
Yep. Wow.
So it's anyone's game.
Really?
So there's still hope for Roberto Ballarossa yet.
Or Podgorica.
There's still hope for Roberto.
And I'm going to throw a spanner in the works, and I'm going to take back what I said about Belgium. I'm going to go for Birds by a Nook from the Netherlands.
Really?
Absolutely. Oh. Because I think she's probably one of the most original sounding artists out of all the songs. And I think we need a little bit of... You think about most of the songs, they are so... I've got 10 songs here which will go off on the night, but they're just gay dance anthems.
Mm. And then there's like another 10 ballads.
Michael, darling, thank you so much
for taking all your time and all your hard work.
Oh, that's okay. Just keep watching joy.org.au/joyeurovision. And I have all the updates there.
Fantastic, guys. We've only got a little bit more. We've got to pay a few more bills and we'll be back shortly.
Joy.
Joy. 94.9.
I'd like to apologise for ladies and gentlemen out there in Radio Land. I hadn't been consuming alcohol and I accidentally left the mics on. So I apologise if I've offended anyone tonight. But I would like to say a big thank you to my wonderful guests. Thank you so much for filling the place of Dolly and Jamie. And that's a tough gig.
It's been a hoot. I'm quite excited and I've enjoyed it.
I've enjoyed it thoroughly. I'll be Dolly anytime.
I want to be Dolly.
You both can be Dolly, boys. Okay.
Poor Jamie's feeling left out. I'll be Jamie.
Yeah. Okay. Now look. We've had our set. So I'm going for, just to wrap this up with Eurovision, I'm going for Netherlands. I'm stuffed. I'm putting my money on Netherlands.
Montenegro.
Of course you are.
I want Belgium, but Ukraine.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Fantastic. Guys, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
I'm still recoiling in horror over
of
that Ukraine.
Of course you are.
No, it's... No, and I'll tell you what, okay, really, really quickly. My boyfriend doesn't follow Eurovision whatsoever, and the other day we were in the car on a three-hour drive and I made him listen to both CDs, and that was the song that
he picked. Isn't he Spanish or Portuguese? Sorry.
He speaks Spanish. He's Mexican.
Oh, he's Mexican?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Apologies. I thought he was Spanish. Or Totally. Anyway, look, I just want to say a big thank you for the boys. Probably the last song I want to leave you tonight, it was the winner from 2010. It was from Germany. It's Satellite. I think it's one of the most original Eurovision songs we've had in years.
I like this one.
Yeah, I think this is a bit of a crowd favourite. Guys, I'll be back with another guest host, my beautiful partner, next week. I want to thank you, B1, B2 and B3. I went everywhere for you. You've been listening to Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.